Welcome to another Sunday Night Stories. This Sunday, Harriet Garbus is back with another Two Love Camping story. Harriet's previous Two Love Camping pieces recently appeared on BBC Radio Bristol as part of the BBC Upload programme. And Harriet has lots more exciting projects in the pipeline. But for now, here's Two Love Camping, Two Novices Hit the Road, written and narrated by Harriet Garbus.
June the 22nd, 2018. A woodland campsite, Froome. Online, it was described as a woodland pitch, and we thought the shade of the woods would be a magical way to relax on a hot summer's day. Under the section of facilities, it stated compost toilet. We thought we had prepared for it, but the reality left us emotionally and spiritually bust. The compost toilet was housed in what was originally a garden shed. So it was a hot compost toilet in a hot shed. Mike talked of nicking bog roll and going elsewhere. We were unnerved by the pitch. Midges were flying everywhere, and the straw on the ground, I assumed, had been used to mop up fluids. We noticed a whistle tied to a tree. What was it for? In case of an emergency? A person collapsing and needing immediate medical attention? Or a person attacking us in our sleep? Was this likely? Had the previous occupant succumbed to such a fate? A feeling of uncertainty began to manifest about what sort of night we might be in for. Mike toyed with the idea of leaving. I said, over my dead body. It was an extremely stifling day, and we had already begun unloading the car. We decided to stay and make a holiday out of it. Once the tent was set up, Mike turned his energy to making the ciders cold. He wrapped ice and tins of cider in my waterproof jacket, making the inside of my waterproof wet. After I protested, Mike wrapped the ciders in a towel. I sat on a chair, watching him hide the ciders in a section of undergrowth. He wouldn't let me have a cider, claiming they were not cold enough. Mike began to dig a hole, informing me it was to put the ciders in. It looked as if he was burying a small animal. After a lot of digging, he began to move the drinks inside the tent. I objected, as the ice in the towel was dripping water and mud in the porch. Mike argued he didn't want the tins out in the elements, and continued on, regardless. Froome, only 40 minutes by car from Glastonbury, is a populous Somerset town. It has a touch of the mystics about it. There is something about its laid-back, friendly atmosphere and its positioning surrounded by countryside that is a hotbed of folklore and mystique. I was keen for a thrill and willing and ready to flirt with the spiritual. Mike, more inclined to side with Richard Dawkins than Russell Grant, got cross whenever I suggested keeping an open mind. We headed out on the walk through the woods to the village of Mells, armed with two ciders and a packet of salt and vinegar crunchy sticks. We came across a man who we asked for directions. He had a compass tattooed on his elbow and pointed us in the direction of Mells. The woodland walk was rather magical in the height of summer. I thought I saw a bird of prey, but when I looked back, it wasn't there. The rocks in the steep wooded banks looked like faces, and I saw a carrier bag that looked like a witch's face. We sat down by the river to drink our cider and eat our salt and vinegar sticks. I asked Mike, "What animal would you most like to see?" And he quickly replied with, "An otter." I said, "A centaur." Later, emerging from the woods, we hit a country road. We were forced to pick up a pace when confronted with a rather hairy section, which had no grass verge to jump onto. We had no choice but to sprint. I heard Mike shouting from behind, "It looks like I'm chasing you, so if a car passes, try not to look terrified." We arrived in Mel's, and after being convinced I had seen Lily Allen's house, we decided to head for ciders at the pub. Three men passed us on a horse and cart, with their legs hanging over the side. They looked like rock stars, sort of Pete Doherty chic. On the way back, we saw some travellers in the wood, and I glimpsed a large dragonfly. Back at the campsite, it took all evening to inflate the mattress. The pump was inadequate, and Mike eventually succumbed to blowing lungfuls of air into it by mouth. I don't like to admit it, but I was rather embarrassed by the sound of Mike blowing air into the airbed all evening, and suggested several times that he abandon the idea, afraid of what other campers might think. However, he continued on until the mattress was fully inflated, by which time it was pitch black. Once tucked up in bed, tawny owls and ravens were heard. Also, the sound of what Mike suspected was a badger sniffing the tent. We were kept awake until the early hours. The Okeechobee and Girls Aloud played at full volume somewhere in an adjacent field. In the morning, specialist camping mugs from a supermarket left a sour taste. Drinking from them felt a bit like when you put your tongue on a large battery. We dismantled the living quarters and drove into Frome to spend a couple of hours getting lost in the pretty streets, and had breakfast in a cafe.